Hello and welcome to the Courtney Turner Podcast. My guest today is Megan Smith, and she is a documentary filmmaker. She holds a master's in biology and currently works as a documentary filmmaker and freelance investigative journalist. In 2016, she founded Waymark Productions, a company dedicated to those with health afflictions. Prior to that, she worked as a screenwriter, a Capitol Hill lobbyist, and a recording artist. Megan was first to report on the inaccuracy of Lyme disease testing for the Washington Post and wrote, produced, and directed both of her two documentaries on cancer. Her second film, A New Standard of Care, Alternative Cancer Therapy, is dedicated to her late husband who passed from cancer in 2009. So this probably before we begin is a good time to remind you that you can go to my website or click the link below and find products that will help support the podcast. And one of them is RNC, and he's working on his Operation World Without Cancer. We had the chance to see John Richardson, who has been a guest on this podcast. He's going to be back. We had a chance to see him this past weekend, and they are working on all sorts of exciting new projects. So for the store. So there will be bars soon available, the famous bars that are so delicious. So on all the products, you can use the code CORT, or you can just donate directly through Buy Me a Coffee, Give Us and Go, or the Venmo. So and you can also send a P.O. box, and you can also just like, share, and subscribe, and send me all sorts of, what you like, feedback, positive, negative. Love to hear all of it. And without further ado, before we bring Megan on, we're going to play a little clip, a trailer from her latest documentary. We'll do that.
I am a seeing is believing kind of person, and I believe in drugs.
If surgery worked, cancer would be easy. If chemo worked, it'd be none of these things work.
I thought, my gosh, look what you're doing to me. You know, you're taking out this organ and that organ.
I did have my oncologist tell me that when I was 60, I'd have the heart of an 80-year-old.
Harm from treatment is a real problem.
Oftentimes, if you follow the guidelines, you'll kill people.
I think we're doing it backwards sometimes, yes.
Is that the standard of care?
That's the standard of care.
It hasn't been working so well so far.
I suppose desperate times require desperate measures. And to me, alternative therapy is a desperate measure.
It's unbelievable what's happening. I mean, I've been told we're close to a big breakthrough. It's a medical breakthrough.
In 10 years, I never saw any of my patients lose their hair. Not one. Not one.
As it turns out, they thought the machine was broken. So when we go into his office, and he opened it up, he was very freaked out because
there was no tumors. They were gone.
He just leaned back against the countertop with his hand on his chin. And I was like, so, what did the scan say? He said, whatever you're doing, it seems to be working. So just keep it up.
So this past week, I had a follow-up MRI, which was 16 and a half years after my initial diagnosis. And to this day, all that remains of the tumor is scar tissue.
So I began to think, how come they're not looking at some of these things?
No one can understand why these trials weren't funded. They were effective and non-toxic. So what's the problem here?
Then unfortunately, it just wasn't doable. It never happened, and the funding went away.
Nobody's helping us. Everybody's trying to put us out of business. I'm talking about governmental agencies. They should be first to help us, but they are first to hurt us, okay?
I believe that they thought they were going to be successful in bringing him down and putting him out of business.
Then you get in trouble. Then the government's on your case.
So I was on the stone floor of our exercise room with the pistol to my forehead.
It's a dangerous game.
If that's the way the FDA conducts all their investigations into potentially helpful drugs, that's concerning to me, quite frankly.
Yes, I'm admitting that unfortunately there's some doctors who've forgotten what professional means and they milk the system.
I think in most of these cases, they know what they're doing. They know. But there's too much money riding on it. And if they can get away with it,
then why not?
There is no morality in there. It's strictly a financial deal. And that's not acceptable.
You know, cancer is big business.
Trillions of dollars of research. Where are we? A little bit better off than we used to be. We're looking in the wrong place.
So, you know, the whole system is rigged.
There is not a standard of care.
So we'll bring on Megan Smith. How are you doing today?
Hello. Hi, Courtney. Thanks for having me. I'm doing great.
Thank you so much for being here. Sure. So tell us, how did you get into this documentary world? And tell us a little bit about, I know you, I had read in the bio, so your husband passed away. So I'm guessing that's what spawned the interest. But what did you find?
Yeah, I think all of us have something that brought us into this world. So in 2007, I had chronic Lyme disease, and Johns Hopkins told me I was incurable with modern medicine. So I said, well, that's not an answer. I'm not going to be on high dose antibiotics the rest of my life. So I found a thing called a Rife machine, R-I-F-E, and I cured myself of chronic Lyme. At the same time, a friend of mine was curing his squamous cell carcinoma on his leg using this machine also. So I knew it had the potential to cure cancer. So when my husband contracted cancer about a year later, I said, look, just use this machine. You're stage four, you know, we know what's going to happen. And so he tried it for 3 days. He ran it on himself and his lungs cleared up. He had lung cancer and his wheezing went away. And I said, you know, this thing's working. It's doing something. Let's just keep doing it before you get radiation tomorrow. Cancel your appointment. And he said, look, I don't understand this machine. I tried to explain it to him, but he didn't get it. And it was his journey. So he went on his way. And unfortunately, after two rounds of five chemos, a cocktail of five chemos, he was gone. And I stewed about that for about 6 years. And I just went, you know, I got to do something. I know there's alternatives. I'd seen Ty Bollinger's brilliant series, A Truth About Cancer.
Right.
And I went, you know, it'd be great to just have all this stuff into a documentary film. And I already had my master's in science. I was an investigative reporter. I was, you know, I had lobbied Congress. So I knew some of the shenanigans that go on the Hill. And I just kind of I said, God, this is just, I just need a cameraman. So I grabbed a cameraman and he was new also to this. And so we were going to Europe 2 weeks later and we went all through Europe. And then through Mexico and all over the U.S. And it's been like an 8-year process because of the pandemic. And I had also put out another film in the meantime on breast cancer screening called Boobs, The War on Women's Breasts. And so anyway, it's been 8 years and I am exhausted, but I'm here. I am vertical and ventilating and talking to you.
Amazing. So what did you find in this process? So, you know, with your own journey with Lyme disease, you realized that there were alternative modalities and therapies. What did you find both about the mainstream medical system and about the alternative world? And what perhaps surprised you about both?
Well, that all of the alternative doctors were saying the same thing. We're looking in the wrong place. Modern medicine is looking in the wrong place. They're looking at the nucleus, the DNA of the cancer cell, and they just blast the cancer cells with chemotherapy and radiation. Unfortunately, they're affecting all these other cells around it. They said they should be looking at the mitochondria because cancer is a mitochondrial dysfunction. It starts in the mitochondria, unless you've had some kind of, you know, big dose of radiation or something. So that was a big aha moment. So that's why their chemo doesn't work and radiation is not so good. So, anyway, so that was, you know, there were several things like that. I can go on about, what was the other question?
So what did you notice in the alternative and I guess answers to me as well, but, what did you, and what really surprised you?
So conventional, you know, When you start hearing these things, like what Ty Bollinger is, what the doctors in his series were saying, part of it's hard to believe because, you know, we want to trust our doctors. Right. We all want to follow the white coat when we can, right? Just give me a drug and I'm out of here and I'm okay if my symptoms are gone. But so what they were saying, I didn't really want to hear. But then I knew after being told so many times I didn't have Lyme disease, I'm like, yes, I do. My dogs have Lyme disease. It does exist in Virginia and I do have it. Mm-hmm. And that kind of irritated me. And I just went, you know what? Do these people know what's going on? I started to really doubt the white coat. And I think that's one thing we all have to do is do your research before you go in. If you have a really important doctor's appointment, do your research first. You know, come fully loaded, read books, go on the internet, get to a good source, and just understand what you're getting into, because it's a labyrinth and they will suck you into the system if you have a chronic disease. And a lot of times it doesn't end well. They don't cure chronic diseases. That was another thing I learned, because they're not looking at the mitochondria. They don't cure chronic diseases. They'll give you a prescription drug and you'll be on those probably the rest of your life, right? And then you'll get a side effect from that drug and then you'll be on another drug. And that's what happened to me. I was on 3 drugs at one point and I was like, what the heck's going on? What am I doing? So I went to a naturopath and she turned everything around and I'm off all 3 prescriptions.
Wow. But,
yeah. And I also have an inflamed breast, and that's in my first film. And I turned that around by changing my lifestyle, which is what you have to do if you have a chronic disease, if you're going to beat it.
So can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think it means different things to different people. And obviously every situation is different. But what did that look like for you?
You mean about the inflamed breast or specifically?
Both. I mean, you said the naturopath healed you with your Lyme disease, right? But then also with the inflamed breast. And I'm wondering if there was any relationship between the two.
Well, it was weird. I was talking to a doctor about, you know, there's 2 doctors in California, the late, great Ben Johnson and Galena Migalco. And they said, look, we got to get off this mammogram merry-go-round. We need to use ultrasound coupled with thermography. And I was like, what are you guys talking about? So I put myself into the film and had a thermogram done, not thinking that they were going to find anything. Well, one of my breasts was inflamed and I hadn't been taking care of myself. I was on the road filming, eating breakfast bars in Europe, you know, 3 times over, and you know, gained 20 pounds over there. And so I didn't, if you see me in the film, I don't look good. I look kind of eh. And so anyway, I was like, he said, well, you may have breast cancer brewing in your left breast. I'm like, what are you talking about? So I said, you know what? Okay. I'm going to put myself in the film, which I didn't really want to do, but I did. And a year later, I went to a naturopath again. She started putting me on supplements, and one by one, I didn't need my prescription drugs. I lost weight. I changed my diet. I ate organic. I cleaned up my air in my house. I cleaned up the water in my house, you know, filtration, whatever. And so a year later, I had another thermogram, and my breast temperature was the same as my right one, which is the indication of if you have something, an inflammation, which can lead to cancer. So you want to catch it. Thermograms are great because you catch the inflammation before it's a tumor. Once it's a tumor, it's harder to reverse.
Sure.
And people need to understand that. Mammograms are not they don't prevent cancer. A lot of women think that if they get their mammograms, they're preventing cancer. They're not. Once they catch it on mammogram, it's already been there 2 to 10 years. It's a solid tumor. And women don't know that. I didn't know that. And this is all new information. Sure. You know,
it's also radiation, and radiation they know causes cancer. So it's a little ironic that they'd be like, oh, let me give you a radiation treatment to prevent cancer. Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and it's a lot more radiation, ladies, than they're letting on. I found that out talking to a Columbia University professor. That's in my film. I walk you through, because they talk about scattered radiation instead of absorbed dose going into your breast, which can give you the cancer. And that's like up to 20 times more than they're really telling you. And if you have dense breasts, they're cranking up the radiation to see through the dense breast tissue and differentiate between the white tumor on the mammogram and the white dense breast tissue. So you're getting slammed with radiation and they don't tell you, they just crank it up.
Right.
Just know that. Yeah.
Yeah. So you said that, it was a naturopath that helped you make the lifestyle choices, or, cause you were saying that it was also for, after you had the thermography done. So I'm curious, was there a relationship between, the Lyme and the inflammation? Was it? Yeah.
So Lyme, I got rid of with the Rife machine. Okay. And then fast forward, and I had this, you know, breast situation, and I had had trauma to that breast. There's a thing called trauma-induced cancer, which is a real thing. Wow. And so when they're squishing it, in addition to the radiation during a mammogram, they're squishing your breast. That's 40 up to 45 pounds of pressure. That's a type of trauma. So there's two things that the mammogram does that they shouldn't be doing.
Right.
So anyway, I went to this woman, and she was a conventional doctor, got fed up with harming her patients, do no harm, right? So she left and she started to doing natural medicine. And I went to her, and like I said, she just started putting me on supplements and changed everything. And she didn't tell me to change my lifestyle. I'd already done that because of the thermogram situation. But I knew these doctors were saying, you need to do this, 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 this. And I was like, okay.
So. Right. So, and with the Rife machine, how often did you use it? Did you have any, did you notice anything with it other than that it healed the Lyme? But were there any symptoms, side effects, or?
Yeah, the only side effect of the Rife machine is if you've got the right program running and you're killing the bug. I had a spirochete, which is the Lyme disease. You will start to kill the bug and you'll have a toxic, you know, reaction. So you have to detox your body. And I was running it. I was so anxious to get, I was only out of bed 2 hours of the day. My brain fog was so bad. I was so tired. I mean, I think my system was just closing down, quite frankly. I think I was on the way out. And so I was really sick. So when I ran it, you know, it started working right away. And I didn't run it slow enough. I was impatient because I'm a type A. And I ran it too fast, and the toxins really zapped me. I started getting migraines. I don't want to scare people away from the Rife machine, but you have to go low and slow because it's a serious. Yeah. I mean, it'll work. That same thing with cancer. If you try and cure yourself with cancer, I'm not saying that you should do this. By the way, I'm not a doctor. I'm just saying this is what I would do. Mm-hmm. You have to go low and slow. And so I got migraines for about 2 weeks. Then all of a sudden, it cleared up. Migraines went away. I was 100% better for a day. So I knew that it was working because I was about to give up on it. I was so in so much pain. Wow. And then the next day I went down to about maybe 50% of where I was. And then I just slowly just kind of climbed my way out of it. It took a year and a half to get rid of the Lyme and the co-infections. So, I mean, I was really sick. I was really sick. And you know, if you catch it, if you don't have late Lyme, it wouldn't take as long, but, it was a journey. And that was such an eye opener. I was like, you know, wow, what if I hadn't found the Rife machine? I mean, I really think I may have been a goner because I wasn't going to do high dose antibiotics the rest of my life.
Right. So when you say that you need to detox while you're on the Rife, how do you do that? What did you do?
Change your lifestyle, okay. Do everything. You know, green drinks, lots of green vegetables or natural, you know, get rid of stuff, clean up your water, your air. The same thing you would do, you should have been doing beforehand, you know, except for I got a bacterium. So that wasn't really my fault per se, but the way we should be living, what was I drinking? Matcha tea? Something was, you can find all kinds of stuff to help you detox the liver, detox. Some people do coffee enemas, which they swear by them. I mean, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. I haven't tried when I was going to, and I chickened out. So
enemas, swear by them. Yeah.
Yeah. Enemas are a good way, but it's not my cup of tea, so to speak, cup of coffee. So all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
So what did you find in your film when you were interviewing others?
So the Mexican clinics are fantastic. There are a couple that I kind of highlight in my film because I was able to talk to patients that had reversed stage four cancers in these people that really talked, you know, loudly to me. So I put those clinics in. Not that the other ones don't work. I don't know. You'll have to be on your own journey figuring that out. But sure. And then I put some of the doctors in that I thought really spoke to me and I trusted. And, you know, I think there's some people out there, alternative doctors. I'm sure there's some that are, you know, not, maybe they don't have everything they need to cure you of cancer, you know, and you have to be careful. That's why Mexico has everything at their disposal. Unlike the US, we have outlawed, you know, like Laetril, B7, vitamin B17 everywhere. except for like maybe some Arizona or something. So really you have to, you know, do your research, look at Ty Bollinger's series. Amazing. Talk, you know, and if a doctor resonates to you, you know, that's what, you know, my film takes you, walks you through. The first act is about what we're doing today.
Mm-hmm.
Standard of care of scalpel, radiation, chemo, why it doesn't work. And then the next part of it is the alternative therapies with the doctors and the patients explaining mm-hmm. their stories. And the third act is why we're not using them, which is a long, ugly story, but I think it was an important one to tell. I almost didn't put it in because the film would have run shorter. But I said, you know, people need to know this because all my friends were like, yeah, Megan, yeah, alternative medicine. Why aren't we using it if we have a cure for cancer? That's one of my friends that's in the film, Christy. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, I'm going to tell you why. Here it is. And I just lay out all the science. I go through all the science too because I'm a scientist by training in the film. So it's kind of pretty irrefutable what I've laid out. Happy to, if somebody wants to find some of their evidence and put it before me, I'm happy to talk to them. But this is what I found. And being a lobbyist, I kind of walked through all the politics of cancer and yeah. So.
Yeah. And it's a lot. You know, as I was saying in the intro, we have one of our affiliates is John Richardson's Richardson Nutrition Company. And his father was the one who was friends with G. Edward Griffin and that led him to write that book, A World Without Cancer. That was actually, I interviewed G. Edward Griffin and I released it for my 300 episode. And I asked him, how did the OG red pill guy become red pilled? And he told me it was, you know, not all at once. It was a long, arduous process, but that it began with his friend asking him to do an article on cancer. And he started doing some research and he said, this is not an article, this is a book. And he said one of the kind of light bulb moments for him was realizing that the pharmaceutical industry cannot cure anything. They can only treat. And he thought that was a little odd. Why wouldn't you want to cure disease? And that led him to, you know, continue to do the research. And that's what kind of opened the doors to learning more about the financial industry. And then he led, you know, wrote The Creature from Jekyll Island. But it was very interesting. It's interesting talking to both of them. They talk a lot about the laetrils. And I've done some research on that. It's bizarre to hear that that's was outlawed, that doctors would get, you know, delicensed or arrested for promoting it.
Yeah, that's a great, there's the editor of my film, Eric Marola, is also a brilliant documentary filmmaker. And he did the Dr. Brzezinski films that maybe you mm-hmm. heard about. And he also did the Laetril, the Sloan Kettering story that they knew B17 worked. They knew Laetril worked. Right. And they left this really sloppy trail, which I actually, in my film, I lay out a lot of stuff. I'm like, why did they not cover their tracks better? So I was right. able to like expose all kinds of holes in their stories. And Eric did the same with the Sloan Kettering. Well, it was a book that was written and he wrote it about the book basically. But, you know, he lays it out. It's a fascinating story about Laetril where it was approved. And then they said, anything that they disapprove of, it must work. That's kind of what I believe. If they go after it, it works. So you better get your hands on some of it quick.
Seriously.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on genetics and cancer? I know, you know, they tend to like to play the genetics blame game.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So very few cancers are caused by genetics. I found that out. I think I've got this right. I think it's about 5%. I think I've got that right. It's not very high at all.
No, American that's cancer really society,
low. Yeah. I think I've got that right. It's not as high as you think it is. So they always talk about, well, does your family have cancer? Well, sometimes it's true, you know, and the BRCA gene is true. The BRCA gene is something, if you don't have that gene, it's one of the genes that corrects DNA breaks. So if you have the BRCA, if you don't have the BRCA gene, then you're more inclined to get cancer. Mm-hmm. But you know, there's not that many cancers. So it's more of your lifestyle. You know, we're eating McDonald's. we're not eating organic, and our air, our water, our food is all, everything's been poisoned at this point, unfortunately. So you have to, if you want to stay alive and avoid chronic diseases, you have to really, you know, really take care of yourself. It's a, I mean, I'm constantly, you should see my kitchen. It's like all supplements and tinctures and, you know, just one thing after another. So just, you have to keep up on it, folks. And I used to eat, that was one of the things, I was going to McDonald's twice a week when I was, you know, a little chubbier and not taking care of myself and had, you know, potential breast cancer. So that was an aha moment. I love McDonald's.
Wow. Yeah, so definitely. I like the saying, you know, like, what is it? Genetics may load the gun, but the epigenetics pull the trigger, and the epigenetics is really controlled by lifestyle factors. So
yeah, it's really important to change your lifestyle.
You can have the, so, but a lot of people feel like they do all the right things. Like they, you know, they eat organic, they've switched over to non-toxic products, right? I mean, it's the old like cliche of somebody who's never smoked a day in their life and they end up with lung cancer, right? So what can people do in, you know, how do they know what the right things to do are? Yeah.
So to that, I would say there's one thing that really feeds cancer is stress. And we just all went through the pandemic. So we are still stressed out. I mean, we can pretend like we're not, but we are.
Right, yeah, sure.
And I mean, we had three things going on during the pandemic. We had COVID itself that was highly inflammatory. We had the vaccine that was highly inflammatory. And we also had stress. And a lot of people I know that have breast cancers, the women, my friends that have had it, they were all like stressed, like type A's, always like overachievers, you know, it's like, you know, take a chill pill. And I think part of that is what unfortunately ended up, why they ended up getting breast cancer. So when you get stressed out, you're stuck in the adrenal fight and flight mode, right? That we all know about. That eventually will lead to a bunch of cortisol will start, you know, your cortisol will start going crazy, your production of cortisol, which affects all of the hormones in your body, which controls all of the organs in your body. So if you stay in that fight or flight for too long, you know, hyperactive kind of thing, eventually that might catch up with you, and your immune system is affected by it because of all these hormone crazy things going on. So I was really stressed out when I had that inflammation. I mean, I was filming, I was traveling all over, you know, so that's another thing. And that's something you can, you know, we are stressed out. Do the best you can do to keep the stress level. Meditate, you know, go exercise every day, oxygenate your blood, because understand that cancer and chronic diseases love sugar and they hate oxygen. Mm-hmm. So cut down on the processed sugar and go get off the couch and go exercise. Go at least, you know, 45 minutes is what they say every day, but do your best to exercise. And ballet is, I do ballet. It's a type of standing yoga, I call it, because it makes you breathe. Yoga is good for you. Meditation, just to get that stress level down.
Yeah. So I was going to ask, like, how do people do that in this world? But so find meditation is a great suggestion, some form of exercise that people enjoy. And learn to deal with stress. I think that's one of the things we don't learn. I think as Americans, that's it's a very kind of, we're trained to function. It's why like coffee is like the drink of the country, you know, and in a very different way. This is actually really, but this is really interesting, because if you look at Europe, you know, they're very coffee centric culture, you know, like they have coffee shops everywhere, but it's not coffee to put you in a beta state to function. It's coffee to relax and enjoy. You know, they have coffee shops and they sit there for very long periods of time. I've spent time in Europe. I'm like, you know, to try and get the bill to get out is really difficult. It's like, hey, anybody here? Does anybody want to be paid? You know, like, but that's very much the culture. So it's interesting, just even the mindset around what we think of is to help us go and function and get things done. You know, they treat it as something to linger and to, I think that manifests itself very much in the you know, ways that we're handling or manifesting stress rather. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the European life style is a lot, like you said, laid back. France, mm-hmm. they're sitting around in cafes having coffee or wine, you know, right. Wine during the day, unheard of, right? They have 2-hour lunches, you know, same thing in Italy, you know, yeah. Long lunches, siestas. You know, they have a weird work schedule. They don't get there until 10 in the morning and they don't leave work until like, I don't know, 7 or 8 at night. I mean, it's totally, you know, capitalism is, that's one of our problems with capitalism. We're all driven to make money, which means go, 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 type A, you know? So there are the downfalls to that. And that is, mm-hmm. Yeah. Plus, you know, Americans, we have the McDonald's, which is spreading all over the globe and, our medicine, we're supposed to have the best medical system in the world, and it's the worst. We're probably killing more people than we're helping. We're over-treating people now. And I think that started to change largely back in the, well, in the 30s when they ran the homeopaths out of their schools and replaced them with medical schools where they only treat with drugs. But then in the 80s, a whole bunch of bills went through Congress.
It started with the Flexner Report, right? Of 1910, then the Rockefeller Medicine takeover. Yeah.
Right. And then in the 80s, there were a whole bunch of bills that went through, bipartisan bills that were signed into law by Reagan that really changed. And that's when the Vaccine Court bill went through.
Vaccine Compensation Act of 1986. Yeah.
Yeah. There was like 5 or 6 bills that went through that really changed medicine. It allowed them. Have at it. Just do whatever you want, you know, no liability, and I'll take advantage of all kinds of stuff. And then the Obama bill, ACA, whatever, that I don't know who put this in there, but they decided to go to paper and computers. And so the doctors are just sitting there looking. They're not looking at the patient anymore. They're looking at their computer, and the doctors hate it, and they're hurried through, and they just, you know, so everything has just gotten worse, not better. So
Maxim, I think, was really is a huge company that was involved in taking over the whole infrastructure for Obamacare. And that was part of the digitalization of healthcare. Yeah.
Yeah. Which in the end turned not to be. So, and now all the, I guess because we're such a litigious nation that a lot of these little mom and pop, you know, I used to go to mom and pops growing up. And mm-hmm. I had one until just like, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago. And then she got gobbled up by Mayo Clinic. And now she's not the same doctor. She's just like in and out. I don't know what's wrong with you. Just here, just, you know, it's in your head. It's like she doesn't try and diagnose you anymore. And she used to be a really good diagnostician. And that's all changed. Wow. And I tell she's just like, oh, God, what am I doing here? I just got to get through to retirement or something. I mean, that's kind of the attitude. And that's really sad. They're all getting eaten up. I think it's because of the high cost of malpractice insurance or something. Mm-hmm. But yep. They're all getting sucked up into these conglomerate umbrellas, and it's worsening the situation, not helping it at all. So I don't know. It's every man.
Yeah. Pardon? Wait, I'm sorry. Didn't hear the last one.
Every man for himself. I said.
Yeah.
Take care of yourself. You don't want to get sucked into that system. I mean, you've probably heard this from doctors too. They say, whatever you want, you do, avoid the hospital at all costs. Because once you get in there, you get sucked in, which is what happened to my husband. He went in just with, after the second round, he went in with just like, I don't know, some intestinal problems.
Okay.
Next thing we know, he's in there for 10 days and I don't know. I was there the whole time. I don't know how they did this, but they got like 20 more drugs into his IV when I wasn't looking. Cause I was like, why are you putting that in him? No, get out of here. Get the doctor in it and tell me why you need to put that drug in him. So I was like fending him off. I was like, mama. And somehow they managed to get it in anyway. I don't know how they did it, trying to make money out the door. And I think that's what put him over, because I thought we were going to get him out of the hospital. And the doctor said, no, he's got 2 weeks to live. I'm like, what happened? He wanted to die at home, you know, so just be careful with the hospitals, because they'll suck you in and put all kinds of drugs into you. And it's terrible.
Well, it's definitely, they're incentivized to do that. They make so much money.
Right.
You know, so they want to keep you in there as long as possible because they're making a fortune.
They say a stage 4 cancer patient brings in a hospital about $500,000. Yeah. They're there for about, you know, a week to 2 weeks. So
you were saying about, you know, all of these alternative treatments and how a lot of people don't know that there even is any treatment for cancer. I've done some research and they said that the average starting price for a cancer patient is $150,000. So there's not a whole lot of incentive for them to prevent cancer or even to treat, even to cure it, because they're making, you know, more than most people make in a year. So,
yeah. And doctors, medicine, I didn't know this. I didn't know any of this starting my journey, but medicine makes most of their money on two things, chemotherapy and vaccines. Mm-hmm. That's where they make their money. So they're going to do anything to protect those two things. So this whole thing about immunotherapy, you know, sounds good in theory, but what it was explained to me by an oncologist is the chemotherapy is only going to get about 99% of the cancer. It's not going to get the cancer stem cells. They're still floating around trying to find the next organ to enter. Mm-hmm. So that's why chemo doesn't work. And, you know, then the radiation, you know, you're blasting people with radiation. If you blast them too much, they're going to mm-hmm. get scar tissue, and then they're going to have problems from that. It's just, it's a mess what's going on, but they make all their money off of chemotherapies, and the whole, they'll rush you into chemo if you're not careful, which is what they mm-hmm. did to my husband. He wanted to go on a 2-week vacation before we started chemo because his cancer had spread to his sacrum and he was in pain, but he had the CyberKnife radiation tool and he was out of pain. He said, I want to go take a trip before chemo. And the doctor said, no, you have to go right now. So he never got to go on his trip. There's no reason, but the oncologist said, no, they push you into chemo real fast because they don't want you to not come back. They don't want you to go on the internet and go to Mexico. And so they are, you know, they're going to force you into chemo as fast as possible. And so just be aware of that.
Right. Yeah. Well, that was the other thing I found was that the only treatments that are legal are chemo, radiation, which chemo is a type of radiation, and surgery. Those are the only like on record legal treatments for cancer.
Right. And I mean, immunotherapy, which is, you know, I don't know. He said the thing I was going to tell you about immunotherapy. He said that when they look at it, they find an immunotherapy drug of some kind. They're looking at one piece of the immune system, but the immune system is this big, all these moving parts, different, you know, cell mm-hmm. types and everything. Right. And so when you try and correct one problem, the cancer is smart. It's going to mutate around that you just fixed, and it's going to come back. Plus immunotherapy, a lot of times they throw the patient into autoimmune problems and then mm-hmm. they've got a whole other disease. Right. They're also, for the most part, very expensive. People are mortgaging their houses, going bankrupt, trying to get their immunotherapy, and then it doesn't work. And immunotherapy doesn't, it's good for blood cancers, but the solid tumors are the thing that their medicine's really having problems, you know, because they're looking at they're not looking at the mitochondria. So they're not able to reverse the solid tumors, which is most of the cancers. So,
Right. Yeah. And is there a way to address the mitochondria even late stage? Have you seen that?
I heard this over and over. If you get treated, surgery is okay. Surgery, they can actually cure cancer. If it's a stage one and it's contained and they get the margins, they can cure you if you stop right there.
Right.
But they usually say
cut it out. So they cut it out. Then there's, you know, it's not necessarily going to spread. And
Right. It hasn't gone into the lymphatics or blood or whatever. And so, but they usually say, let's do radiation just in case. You know, it's like, well, if you got the margins, why are you radiating me? But anyway, so the radiation, the chemo, they're carcinogenic in themselves, both of those things. I mean, I think almost all chemos are carcinogenic. That's my guess. I know that a lot of them are. And even
they say radiation causes cancer. And then what do? They treat cancer with radiation. So the theory is that, it doesn't really make any sense. But the theory is that they're going to kill the cancer cell. But the problem is that, a lot of people who survive chemo, it's because their other cells just happen to have survived it. But it kills all cells. It doesn't, you know, it's really hard to target. So it's just if you're lucky enough that it doesn't kill all the other cells in the process. But
right. But if you get standard of the radiation and chemo, and then your cancer comes back, and then you go try and do alternatives, unfortunately, mm-hmm. you blasted your immune system to smithereens already, and it's harder mm-hmm. to reverse the cancer then. It's not mm-hmm. impossible to keep it at bay for a while. But when the cancer comes back, it comes back with a vengeance. It's mutated, right. It's smart, and it's trying to take you down. So unfortunately, once you put your foot in the door of radiation chemo, especially chemo, you run the alternatives won't work as well. So right. people say, I'm going to try conventional first and then alternatives. I'm like, no, do alternatives first and then conventional. That's what I would do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely try the alternative methods first. Where do you recommend for people who are, and we're not treating anybody or curing anybody, but just, you know, anecdotally from your research, from your films and your personal experience, where do you recommend people start with looking for alternative modalities? I think it can be really overwhelming for people. There's a lot of information, and there's, you know, the term quack was used to demonize. But unfortunately, there are a lot of people in the space who are, you know, not necessarily the most reputable. So,
right. Yeah. Right. So that's why I put this film together largely was so that people had that's my embrace the quack, my little duck there.
Yeah.
A good quack.
Right.
But that's why I made this film. I wanted people to be able to have one source. It's a 4 hours and 45 minute film. I put everything in it. You know, it's two nights of your life. You know, it's free on YouTube right now. At some point pretty soon I'm going to have to charge for it and put it on another platform. But right now it's still on YouTube. A new standard of care.com is where you can find it. But I wanted people to know, look, I did real brief overviews of the therapies. Here are some places you can go talk to. Again, Ty Bollinger has a whole bunch of places, you know, different doctors, see who you feel comfortable with talking to. But I just wanted to put it, all that information that Ty did, I just wanted to put it in one quick, down and dirty, two nights. You know, I was going to try and do one night, but that didn't work. So I just put everything in it. I said, this thing's never going to play in the theater. I might as well just educate people. There you go. And then I would expand on it with all of Ty's work, and you'll have a really good platform and understand what all these things I have up on the screen there, vitamin C, Laetrile, you'll get kind of a good, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get a good overview of cancer and what they can, how they can treat it. Gerson, Laetrile cannabis, poly-MVA. Yeah. And then there's more than that too, but that's just starting.
The starting point. Yeah. And what are your thoughts on there are people who feel that there's a strong link between parasites and cancer, and you know, the rife has been very effective, as you found, for things like Lyme. But what are your thoughts on that?
So I actually do a deep dive. Yeah, so my master's in biology, so yeah. I did a deep dive on the rife machine and the possibility of microorganism linked cancers, which is in the, there's, you know, several cancers that have been, H. pylori gives you mm-hmm. stomach cancer. You know, medicine knows this is going on. They know it. They're just not expanding on it, but there's also a thing called pleomorphism. To get into it, it's really interesting where a virus can, Dr. Rife actually proved this back in the 30s, where mm-hmm. a bacterium can turn into a virus and vice versa, and mm-hmm. you know, a parasite and a fungus, and you know, so there have been some funguses that have been found affiliated with cancers, certain cancers, and so I Dr. Alan Cantwell, now passed away unfortunately, he found a microorganism affiliated with some skin lesions, mm-hmm. so he got interested in that, and there's been a lot of research. But all the doctors that were doing deep dives on the research, like Dr. Livingston, they went after him. They went after him. And again, if they go after something, you know, they're on to something, you know, it wasn't quackery. But I put that stuff in my film. It's fascinating. And that's why the Rife machine is based on that theorem.
Yeah. And with the Rife machine, is like, because you said you bought one, but you have a background in biology. Is it something anybody, I know they're very expensive, but other than that, is there like a barrier entry? Is there, can it do, I know you had also mentioned that if you go too quickly, it can have, I guess, kind of like a Herxheimer type response.
Right.
But I'm curious if there's a like, do you have to be licensed in it, or do you have to, are there trainings in it? No, anybody could buy it. It's just,
but you can't treat somebody else. It's illegal to treat another person. Sure. I didn't treat my husband. You're allowed to treat animals with it. Apparently FDA, I never found the actual verbiage, but they said, you can treat your animals, but not people. Cause they've never done clinical trials on it. And of course, my point in the film, I go, well, why the heck haven't they done the trials?
Right. Because,
you know, if you think about, you know, during the COVID, they were taking UV light in hospitals and saying you can sterilize your hand using UV light. And they have them on the railings now at airports. Mm-hmm. That is a form of the Rife machine. UV light is in the high spectrum of the high wavelength of the blue light spectrum. Mm-hmm. That's why it works. So they're using it. They know it works, but they won't stand on it because it could potentially wipe out most of medicine because it can kill any bacterium, virus, mold or fungus, parasites. So, I mean, you've pretty much done away with a lot of the drugs because of that. And if all cancers, if most, if not all of them are virally or bacterially mediated cancers, you kill that problem or parasite or fungus, whatever, and you kill the disease. Mm-hmm. So medicine doesn't want this machine to come out. And the only reason I talk about it, I wasn't going to because I was afraid, they're not going to like this if I talk about it. Uh-huh. But the New York Times did this big article on it was one of their writers contracted late Lyme disease. And he talked about reversing his late Lyme with the Rife machine. So I felt like, okay, if it's in the New York Times, as far as I'm concerned, it's out of the closet. So I'm going to talk about it. And, you know, so far I'm still here.
Yeah, we're still here. And I'm amazed actually that your film's still on YouTube. Well, this won't be so. Yeah. but that's great. So I'm glad it is. I'm glad the information is getting out there.
But you can always find my film at anewstandardofcare.com. So even if it gets taken down by YouTube, which it probably will eventually, I'll put it on a different platform like Rumble or something.
Great.
Great. There's the duck.
Yeah, the duck, the quack. Yeah, I've done a bunch of shows on, the Rockefeller takeover of medicine. And they started the American Cancer Association. And they talk about how I don't remember the exact numbers anymore, but the amount of money that, you know, has gone into it. And yet of their own admission, the problem has increased by tenfold. And they keep saying, but don't worry, just, you know, give us more money and we'll solve the problem. And that seems, you know, very strange.
Sometimes you'll hear that cancer, especially breast cancer, the numbers are decreasing. Mm-hmm. What they're doing, this is fascinating. They're manipulating statistics, which they're really good at.
They're good at that, yeah.
Yeah, early detection is one way to manipulate. But they also, like in breast cancer, 25% of breast cancers, I had no idea, is a thing called stage zero, which is it's called ductal carcinoma in situ, which is a precancer. It's not a carcinoma. It's a precancer to carcinoma. But when women hear the word carcinoma, they freak out, even if it's a precancer, and they have their breast taken off. So then the statistics go, oh, we cured her. They cured them of a precancer. They didn't cure them of cancer. And nobody knows if those precancers are going to become invasive. And that's 25% of breast cancers. It's a lot. It's a huge business. And there's people, Laura Esserman out of University of California, San Francisco, is doing a lot of research and saying, you know, let's try and figure out which one of these is going to become invasive so we don't take the woman's breast off and steal the patootie out of her, you know. So there is some research, thank goodness, going on in that area. But that's in my first film. I do a deep dive in that area because I have a good friend who had both of her breasts taken off because of DCIS, and now she's really regretting it. And sure. It just broke my heart. I'm like, what's stage zero? I had no idea. But they had to make up a new stage for it. I mean, we're going to go into minus one and minus two pretty soon.
Right. Crazy.
Yeah.
Stage zero is not, that's zero, as far as I knew, is non-existent. It's not a thing.
No, and they have stage zero testicular cancer also, but those men, they tell them to watch and wait. They don't take off the testicle. So there you go.
Okay. Well, difference thank goodness for that.
Yeah, difference between men and women once again.
Well, I'm glad. I mean, I'm not glad that they're rushing with women, but you know, right. I'm glad that they're telling the men to wait. Hopefully they'll get to that with women or enough women will come around and realize that they need to advocate for that.
Right.
For sure. Exactly. Yeah. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. I had no idea. I've never heard of that stage zero, that's what they're calling it. You said there's 25%.
25% of all breast cancers, 1 in 8 women are going to get breast cancers, and 25% of those breast cancers are going to be DCIS, ductal carcinoma in situ, which means in place. It hasn't gone anywhere yet.
Mm-hmm.
Women want to get it cut out, so they have to take largely, they can do a lumpectomy sometimes, but largely they just take the whole breast. Drives me crazy. That one, I heard about that, and I was like, oh my gosh, between that and the radiation amounts of the mammogram, and I was like, what are we doing to ourselves? I mean, breast cancer is huge business, as you know, look at Komen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, huge. It is a huge business. Mm-hmm. That's what I was saying about the research. It just sounds like it's like a money laundering. I mean, I don't know that's exact, but that's what it looks like. You know, it does look like there's so much money going in. And it doesn't seem to be going towards the cause because of their own admission, the rates are just increasing.
Right. So, yeah. Even though sometimes they'll say they're not, but they are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the stuff I've read about the official sites, like the AMA sites, the, you know, all the official cancer websites, they all say that the rates are increasing tenfold. And, but they say the solution is to give them more money, which.
Right.
But they've gotten more money exponentially each year, and somehow the rates are increasing tenfold. So money is not solving the problem. There needs to be another.
Yeah, they're looking in the wrong place. This doctor in my film says, he goes, they're looking in the wrong place. They're not going to cure cancer. They're not looking at the mitochondria.
Right.
And they know the people way up here, not the doctors, the ones way up here.
Right.
They know. Because they go, and as soon as they see an alternative cancer therapy that works, and these stories are also in my film, these patient stories said, they cured my cancer. And then the doctor went, okay, what'd you do? What'd you do down in Mexico? I want to know everything. And then it goes to the tumor board, and it just disappears. Nothing ever happens. They don't start saying, everybody go to Mexico. They don't do anything. They want to try and figure out if they can get the patents for something. That's right. One of the deals. If it's not patentable, like B17 is a natural product, they can't mimic it, it's going to go away. They're going to try and make it go away. Something that's not. Vitamin C, inexpensive, reverses cancer, at least helps support the reverse of cancer. They don't want that out there. They don't want it out there. So they're making it really hard for these alternative doctors to use. They're going right at the sources now. FDA is going right to the source of the vitamin C, the compounding. And it's getting uglier and uglier. NAC is under fire. You probably know that. And they're just going in. They've got a hit list. I've actually seen it. It's in my film. Every year, FDA comes out with a new hit list of what supplements are we going to take down this year.
Yeah, there's a real war on supplements.
Who needs to come out, who really needs to speak out, are the medical doctors.
Yes.
Because we can scream and shout all we want, but it's the medical doctors that need to come forward. They're miserable too. They're the ones who
a lot of them know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they know, they may not know all the stuff that's in my film, but they know enough. I mean, I've had doctors make comments and I'm like, what did you mean by that? You know, like stay out of the hospital. Well, what do they mean by that? They know. So they know some of the big pieces. but some, not all of it, but in, you know, the fact that the oncologists are running around saying, eat all the sugar you want to a cancer patient, it doesn't feed the cancer cell any faster than a regular cell, is total bubkis. Right. It's in the literature. It was proven by Otto Warburg back in the 1930s. He got a Nobel Prize for it. And right. In my biochemistry book, I have that in my film. I literally looked it up and there's a little, yep, feeds it at a higher rate of, you know, cancer cells. They have more insulin receptors, so they suck up the sugar at a higher rate. And they prefer, they're very good efficient at the anaerobic cycle, which takes a lot more sugar than mm-hmm. the aerobic cycle. That's why cancer, it doesn't like oxygen. It wants you be your body to be in an anaerobic state. And so anyway, I go into that quite a bit. I talk about sugar a lot in my film, but it's really mm-hmm. important for patients to understand how nasty sugar is. And not natural sugars, they're not as bad, but the right. sucrose, which is man-made fructose and glucose molecules stuck together, that's right. just nasty, nasty stuff. High fructose corn syrup, nasty stuff.
For sure. For sure. And they try to put it in everything. So yeah, people need to be aware. Yeah. So, well, thank you so much. If you have anything else you want to impart, please do tell everybody where they can find you, find your films and all that good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I've dumped quite a bit on you guys today. So you can find my film at anewstandardofcare.com. You can find my first film on breast cancer screening, which is really important for every woman to know what's going on, at boobs.doc.com. And then I also have a blog that I talk about both films, which is called Blog on Boobs, B-O-O-B-S. And between all of those websites, you'll find a lot of information.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And thank you all for watching and listening.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.